The following interview was copyrighted 2010 by AboutFacts.net and its licensors. All rights are reserved.
Our guest today is Dennis Baltazar, a distinguished UFO lecturer, investigator, researcher, and journalist, and former member of the UFO Museum's Board of Directors. He's also a contributor to this website and has been an engineer for over 33 years. But I don't think that I've ever mentioned that he's a member of the Great Pyramid of Giza Research Association, and that's the reason that he's here today. Hello, Dennis. It's great to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Before I start the interview, I'd like to mention the address of Dennis's popular website. It's http://www.truthseekeratroswell.com. It's all one word. Could you tell our readers exactly what the Great Pyramid of Giza Research Association is?
Well, it's a group that was formed several years ago by a guy named John DeSalvo. He's done quite a bit of research over the years on the Shroud of Turin and got involved with the pyramids, put together an advisory board of about 30, 31 members from Canada, Ukraine, Italy, India, France, Malta, and the United States, which is comprised mostly of scientists, physicists, Egyptologists, and engineers. And several years ago, he was on the radio interview with Jeff Rentz, the radio show Sightings on the radio, I believe it's called, and started talking about the possibility of an ET involvement with the pyramids, and Jeff recommended he contact me. And that was kind of a blessing for me because I've always been interested in the pyramids because of my civil engineering background on how they were built and where they're built and who built them and things like that. So when I was asked to join the advisory board, I was quite honored. And I'm among some pretty high-tech people there on the board. Salvo has published two books, which I consider are premier books as far as the pyramids of Giza. And I need to explain to your listeners that when I'm talking about the pyramids, I'm only talking about the three big pyramids in Giza on the Giza Plateau. We don't believe that those three and the Sphinx were built by the Egyptian civilization. The other pyramids, and there's probably 80 or 90 in Egypt, are all poor replicas of those three, and probably were built by Egyptians or the Egyptian civilization. So, you know, being involved with the board and the people that are on the board has been quite an honor for me.
Now, there's a persistent rumor that there are tunnels that go under the Sphinx, and that there's some sort of room under the Sphinx that might contain an ancient library from Atlantis or some other ancient civilization that existed before the Egyptians. Dr. Zawi Hawass recently went under the Sphinx through a bored hole and stated it was solid stone. He also went into caves near the Sphinx and said they all ended in a dead end.
Let me say up front that anything Hawass says, I take with a grain of salt. You see him on all these TV documentaries about Egypt and about the pyramids. I firmly believe that he's on the tourist industry board as well as being the head of antiquities. He denies any knowledge of anything that's not Egyptian. And I guess that's what he's paid for. But we're hoping that he'll retire pretty soon. Get back to your comment. We have found in one of the front paws of the Sphinx that there is a void, a room in there. No Egyptians will let us go in there and look at it. What is in it, we don't know. We're, like you mentioned, there may be information about Atlantis. We're really hopeful that there'll be some information on how and when and who built the pyramids, because there is no information available anywhere in Egypt about the three pyramids of Giza.
The ancient Egyptians were prolific builders, and many people, including archaeologists, think that there are many more structures under the sand and that some could be more pyramids. What do you think?
There's no doubt. I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say that 60 to 80% of what is in Egypt is still covered with sand. And the reason I say that, the Sphinx itself was covered in sand up to the neck. The only thing visible was the head up till the 1800s. when they started digging around it and found the body of a lion attached to that head. So I'm convinced, and they're continually finding things, and we know there are tunnel systems under the sand there. And in fact, there could be monuments and whole cities still buried under the sand.
Some people believe that the pyramids are far older than we're being told, and that they were not built by the Egyptians, as you said, even though Egyptian graffiti has been found inside them that seemed to date them to ancient Egypt. Who do you think built them, and do you think that there are other structures that we credit ancient Egypt with that they didn't build?
The last part of your question I'm not sure about. I think most everything that you're seeing in Egypt probably has been built by the Egyptians. To get back to your original point there, one of our members, Stephen Mueller, has done some extensive research on the civilization known as Khemitians, it's Khemitian, that existed well over 10,000 years ago, that he described in the book The Land of Osiris. He and others believe that it was a black advanced prehistoric civilization in North Africa, which today is Egypt. And his question is, could the Khemitian civilization have been involved in building those pyramids? Mueller thinks the answer could be yes, because his research supports that of others that say the Great Pyramids were never intended to be a tomb for an Egyptian king, but rather a machine that transformed and generated and transmitted energy. The theory about the Khemitian civilization by some researchers goes as far as stating that they may have had contact with star people, because it appears that they had technology and tools that were superior to anything the Egyptians had or any of the other older civilizations. And, of course, the use of water or maybe sound may someday prove to have been a key factor in building the pyramids as a means of overcoming gravity to handle those massive stones that are contained in the pyramids.
Are you familiar with the Giza Plateau Mapping Project?
Yeah, I know. I've heard of it, yeah.
The Giza Plateau Mapping Project revealed the fact that the area around the pyramids and Sphinx was very wet at one time, mm-hmm. and that it was a flood area in the time of the Old Kingdom. I was wondering if you read the report, and what do you think about this fact? Do you think that...
I've not read that report, Ken, but I'm familiar with it, and there is another researcher, Ken Klein, who has found fossils and sea life shells and things like that, and evidence of saltwater deposits halfway up the pyramid. And he goes as far as saying that it may have been the flood that they talk about in the Bible. And if that would be the case, that certainly would predate the Egyptian civilization by a long time.
Well, do you think that maybe since it was a floodplain, that it also might shoot down the theory that the pyramids and Sphinx are at least 10,000 years old because they used water markings as a test?
I would guess that they're much, much older than 10,000, probably 15,000, 20,000 years maybe, because we have proof that the Great Pyramid was built for Khufu, who was 4th dynasty, 2400 BC. And the Arabs were the first to go in the pyramids. In 820 AD, they went in, and the only thing they found was an empty granite box in the king's chamber called a coffer. And that empty, lidless box was uninscribed, undecorated, and there was no hieroglyphics, no paintings, nothing for an afterlife. So that disqualifies the fact that a pharaoh would have been buried there for the afterlife, because all the pharaohs that have been buried have always had their personal belongings with them to take to the afterlife, and nothing was found in the Great Pyramid as of yet. I'm not saying that there's not something there, but in the king's chamber, the queen's chamber, there has never been anything found except that empty box.
Well, since we're talking about the coffer, what do you think of the fact that recently they discovered drilled holes that they believe were made by diamond-tipped drills that exerted over 2 tons of pressure?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at the tools that the Egyptians had, we're talking copper tools, And the precision on some of the stone cutting is less than a 50th of an inch. You can't get a piece of paper between them, particularly in the King's Chamber. And some of those stones weigh up to 70 tons. So I have to rule out the fact that the Egyptians had the tools, the manpower, or the knowledge to do what we see in the Great Pyramids.
Well, in relation to other civilizations, isn't it a fact that some of these ancient civilizations were all stone movers? For example, in South America, some of the Maya actually moved stones to the top of mountains that weighed several tons and built structures. Do you think there's any relationship with, say, if you feel that aliens built the pyramids, that they also helped other civilizations around the world?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Ken, because the Mayans, the Incas, there are several around the world. There's some in the Far East, in Japan and China. Pretty much look like they're the same period of time, but most of the researchers, the Egyptologists mostly, have talked for years that the pyramids were built using 20 to 30,000 people over a 20-30 year period, and if you do the math, it doesn't hold water. First of all, there are 2.5 million stones in the pyramid, not including the casing stones that covered the outside of it, which were all polished limestone stones, and it were removed by the Arabs to build mosques and temples and things like that. It's only one pyramid that still has any of the casing stones at the very top out of the three. But if you do the math, 2.5 million stones over a 20-30 year period utilizing 20 to 30,000 people, they would have had to cut, quarry a stone, transport it to the Nile, barge it up the Nile, bring it over to the site, and raise them stones, some of them up to 440 feet. They would have had to set a stone every 90 seconds. It's an impossible task if you do the math on it. The theories about how the stones were placed there, there's several theories on that. One is a ramp. And I'm going to do some calculations on that because you know you have a height of 442 feet to the top of the pyramid. If you use an angle of, say, 20 degrees, which is a pretty steep angle, I'm going to determine what length that ramp would have to be. And I believe the ramp would have contained more material than the pyramid itself. Now, I just recently read a book by a researcher who claims that they reused water to build the pyramids, meaning that they built a lock system similar to the Erie Canal locks from the Nile River over to the site.
Well, it was very possible the Nile River was only 1 mile away at the time.
No. At the time, it was almost 9 miles away. It has moved since then.
Well, I've read several reports where they said 1 mile, but okay.
Anyway, they used the lock system to get the barges over to the site. Even if it's a mile, it's still a pretty massive lock system. And then each lift of the stones was sealed, filled with water. The rocks were paced on barges inside and then floated over to their location where they were set. This is a theory that has possibility, but I don't know that it's going to ever work out, but it is a theory. Mm-hmm. Another theory was that they used a ramp that went around the four sides of the pyramid. As the pyramid rose, the ramps went up on each side of it. So we have no real knowledge about how they were built, and like I said earlier, there's no records of how they were built.
Well, how would you feel if I told you that recent computer studies have shown that there was only 590,712 stones in the Great Pyramid?
No, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy that, Ken, no. Because we know that there's at least 2.5 million stones in the Great Pyramid.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, there are computer studies out that this is what they're saying. I don't know if they're correct or not, you know.
Yeah.
But let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say there was only that amount of stones.
Okay.
Would that change your opinion on, say, for example, placing a stone instead of every 90 seconds, they would only have to place a stone like maybe every 20 minutes or something? Would you feel different about it then?
Let me give you another example on the Nile. the Nile River, until the Aswad Dam was built, used to flood for several months every year.
Right.
Did that not create problems in transporting the rock from the quarry? And the quarry was not located at the site. The quarry was off-site. So I would assume that the flooding of the Nile would have had an effect. When I say every 90 seconds, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I know.
For 20 to 30 years, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have the answers, but, you know, there's a whole lot of questions about how those things were built.
Anton Gogal, the French archaeologist, claims that evidence of a second pyramid at Giza has been found, and it was dismantled in the 11th century A.D. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Yeah, that's the only thing I found on it.
Has it been uncovered? Is that how they found it?
You know, I really don't have much on this, I'll be honest with you. It was something I've read in several places, but it's just an opinion on...
Well, I know that the Arabs were robbers as far as taking stones,
yeah.
Because all the casing stones, the polished casing stones, and supposedly the casing stones were so highly polished that they were visible from the moon when the sun reflected them.
Right, right.
Now, they took nearly all of the casing stones off the three great pyramids and used them for their own use for mosques and temples, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing dealing with the water is the Sphinx itself, and that's where I come from as far as the age. Because once the body of the Sphinx was uncovered, it was discovered that the deterioration on the back of the Sphinx was by water, not by wind and sand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there hadn't been that much water, moisture in that part of the world for 10 or 15,000 years. So again, we're predating the Egyptian civilization.
Okay. What do you think of the theory that the stones were poured into place?
That's another possibility I've read about recently, where perhaps not the ones on the bottom. The bottom ones were probably set. But as they got higher, in order to use less people and less labor and less hard work, they could have formed them, because towards the top of the pyramid, the tops of those stones that are on the pyramid are pretty flat. And that indicates that maybe they were formed like we would form to pour concrete. That's another possibility that we're looking at.
Wouldn't you think, though, that scientists would be able to examine these stones and know whether they were poured or not? I always wondered about that.
Yeah, there's been some research done on that, but I don't know of any conclusions that have been brought forward.
Mm.
I know that one of our researchers, let me think of his name, Joe Parr, he spent two nights on top of the Great Pyramid and had some equipment that he used. I think this is back in 97 and 98, conducting electrical, magnetic, and some radioactive measurements. And he has been able to measure an energy field or a bubble that appears to form around the pyramid. And he believes the energy field appears to vary with the 11-year sunspot cycle.
Uh-huh.
And the top of the big pyramid has a 30 by 30 foot flat area, and as a point of interest, it appears that it was never finished. There was no top stone or capstone placed on it. But he spent two nights up there.
I've read stories where they claim that people have been looking for a capstone. They think it might exist. It just wasn't ever put on top.
Yeah,
or it was stolen, you know.
I've heard that too, and as far as Khufu being the pharaoh, the only thing they ever found on Khufu was a 3-inch statue miles away from the pyramids, which is in the Cairo Museum today. There's nothing of record as far as Khufu and his dynasty.
What do you think of the theory that the ancient Egyptians used the Nile River to wash away the sand they used in construction of the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx and so on and so forth, and that's where the water damage came from?
Well, the Nile River wouldn't have salt, wouldn't have seawater, so the theory about finding saltwater deposits halfway up the pyramid, I don't know if I could put them two together.
Uh-huh.
You know, another interesting thing, Ken, is the alignment of those three pyramids.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
They align exactly with Orion's belt in the constellation Orion. So there was quite a bit of knowledge about astrology involved in the building of the pyramids. And with my engineering background, I've always been fascinated with what was underneath the pyramids, because whether you're talking 100,000 stones or 2.5 million stones, you're talking a lot of weight.
That's true.
Anywhere from 2 to 70 tons each.
Sure, it should have. You're saying it should have sank because of its weight.
Yeah,
I understand
exactly.
That.
And you know, the accuracy. My last big job with the Texas Highway Department was a bridge over the Houston Ship Channel, which had a 1,200-foot span between the uprights of the cables. And we were off by a couple feet, and we cut another piece of steel, slipped it in, and the bridge was completed. The pyramids are off on each side by 1/4 inch. And like I said earlier, the 50th of an inch between the stones, the workmanship is unbelievable.
Oh, I realize that, too. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's probably the most incredible building that has ever been built, and it's far superior to anything we're building today, and as far as measurements go. But let me ask you another question, since you brought it up. Don't you think it's a little strange that the pyramids resemble Orion's Belt on the ground today? If they were built 10,000 years ago or 20,000 years ago.
Which to me indicates they had tremendous knowledge of the star system. And you know, the Great Pyramid has a descending and ascending passage, supposedly be able to get out for the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only pyramid that has both descending and ascending passages.
I think they found it in the 1930s, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And but they didn't decipher. It was found in a tomb, a message, and they didn't decipher it until the 70s.
Well, they did a, I don't know if it was Nova or one of the TV documentary companies did a special on sending a camera up one of those shafts.
I saw it, yeah.
And when they got halfway up, they found it was blocked with a stone. And what one of the researchers has found is that right there where that stone blocks the passage, there is a shaft that goes down, and he believes that goes down to an energy source of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
They, like most documentaries, whether it be UFOs or the pyramids or whatever, there's so much vagueness in the documentaries. You know, they knew that was there before they ever went in with the camera. But, you know, for ratings and profit, they make a big deal out of it.
Well, do you think there's any reason that...
I'm sorry?
Do you think there's any reason that the pyramids were made in a way to look like the belt is today? In other words, we've been getting all these messages of doom that 2012 is the last year and a catastrophe is going to strike and everything. And then you look at the pyramids, and they were created to look like Orion's Belt today, not when they were built. Do you think there's a message there somewhere?
Possibly. One of our researchers, and you may have heard this, is from Ukraine, Vladimir Krasnolovich, and I love it when I can say that. He was involved in large pyramids recently being built by the Russian National Academy of Science in the Ukraine. And he's discovered that immune systems of organisms increased upon exposure inside the pyramid. Agricultural seeds placed in the pyramids for 1 to 5 days showed a 30% increase in yield. Violent weather seemed to decrease in the area of the pyramids. The potency of pharmaceuticals increased with decreasing side effects. And viruses and bacteria decreased. And what's amazing, he said, ordinary water didn't freeze at 40 degrees below zero.
Hmm.
Now, you know, that's some pretty wild research there. And he has done, they built several pyramids, not as big as the Egyptian pyramids, but just the fact that most pyramids, you've heard about the razor blades that stay sharp inside pyramids and things like that. So there is something to the shape of the pyramid or the energy that it produces, I guess.
Yeah, that is amazing. Here's one. I don't know if you ever heard of this or not. I'm sure you know what a Celtic cross is, right?
You're fading out on me, Ken.
I said you know what a Celtic cross is, am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, did you ever hear of the book entitled The Working Celtic Cross by Crichton E.M. Miller? Because he claims that the Celtic cross is really a tool that was used for navigation for thousands of years before the Egyptians ever built the pyramids, and using this tool, it would be possible to build an extremely accurate pyramid.
Hmm. I hadn't heard that. You're just throwing another theory at me is what you're doing.
Sorry about that. But you can see I'm interested in this also.
Well, you know, Napoleon Bonaparte, you know, a lot of people have researched the pyramids over the last 400 or 500 years, but Bonaparte went inside the Great Pyramid in 1798.
Uh-huh.
Accompanied by his military, engineers, surveyors, astronomers, and all the people he carried with him. And their work was published in several volumes, 1809 to 1822. He himself was supposedly shaken after spending a night in the King's Chamber. And he refused to ever talk about it again. Some say he was given some vision of his destiny while he was alone in the King's Chamber. Hmm. But when he came out, he was a totally different person than when he went in. And I've heard this from other people that have been in the pyramid, saying that they feel some sense of urgency or some vibration or something inside, which again goes back to the energy theory, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, you got even with me. You told me something I never heard.
Yeah, Napoleon went in the 1700s and spent the night in the King's Chamber.
Well, how do you explain the fact that so many pyramids have been found all over the world, and yet some of these lands were so far apart, and it's believed that there was no contact between many of these places?
Well, again, if you look at, and I'm going to say, if you look at all pyramids anywhere in the world and compare them with the three on Giza, there's no accurate resemblance. They're poor replicas. Even in Egypt, you have the Bent Pyramid, the Step Pyramid, and things like that, and several of them have deteriorated. The three of Giza were one of the seven wonders of the world, and in fact, the only one remaining of the seven ancient wonders of the world. So there was technology involved in the Giza pyramids that was not repeated again in other pyramids ever built around the world.
Well, what do you think of the Pyramid of the Sun? It has the same dimensions in the base as the Great Pyramid.
But it doesn't have the height.
It doesn't have the... well, I'm trying to remember. I don't know if it has the height or not. I don't
think it does, Ken, but that is probably one of the best pyramids outside of Egypt, outside of Giza, that has been built. Now, when it was built, I don't know.
Well, that's true. Nobody really knows, even though they say they think they know. It's not one of those cases.
You see, the problem I have, Ken, is that tourism is big business in Egypt. That may be their biggest industry.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah. For
me or anyone on our board to say that the Egyptian pyramids were not built by Egyptians is not going to sell well.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of that fact.
And I think that's why Hollis does what he does when he does documentaries. You know, he is still pushing the fact that everything in Egypt is Egyptian, and we don't believe that.
Right, right. Well, do you think that the temple at Abydos, for example, where they found a plaque that has a picture of a jet plane, and maybe a submarine, I'm not sure, or a UFO,
yeah,
and a helicopter, do you think that was put there to show us that the Egyptians were not alone?
I don't know. There's been a lot of discussion on that helicopter and the submarine and things like that, whether it's actually a depiction of what they really are, or if it's something else in hieroglyphics that we may not even understand. Hieroglyphics, to me, I want to say it's Greek, because it's really difficult, I think. Apparently people that have studied hieroglyphics have no problem deciphering and interpreting it. But to me, I think there's a lot of hieroglyphics that we're still not aware of.
That could very well be. I don't know if you know it or not, but on my website I put a theory about how I believe the walls were painted inside the pyramids without the soot getting on the ceiling and without using mirrors, etc. I'd like to tell you my theory and see if you agree with it.
Go ahead.
I believe that the stones were either painted before they were put into the pyramid, or they were painted before the next layer was put on the pyramid, therefore they were in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's That's our theory on about FaxNet. What do you think?
Well, it depends how they were set. If they were set using mortar, like this latest thing I've read, where they flooded each level and then floated the stones in place, there would have been a time factor for the paint to dry before they could put water against it. That's another possibility, Ken. You know, this thing has opened the possibilities that we yet don't know.
But
if you get back now to the Great Pyramid,
yeah,
there are no paintings in the Great Pyramid.
No, I know.
It's empty, except for that coffer. There is nothing in the Great Pyramid.
There is a door, however, that's never been opened.
Well, it's probably more than one.
Well, one that they found when they used the robot.
Yeah, they did find some inscription up above the King's Chamber, but they think that was put there by someone else at a later time, more recent time. It mentions Khufu, and we don't believe that that's accurate or that was part of the original structure.
What do you think about some of the things that have been found in these different pyramids? For example, gliders that can actually fly and, you know, things
well,
like
look
that.
Look at the boat. There's a boat was uncovered.
A large boat.
Yeah. And, you know, that was recently uncovered under the sand, and now it's a museum.
Right.
One of the things that bothers me that I've recently heard is that they are starting to charge ridiculous amounts of money to go inside the pyramid or to get up close to the Sphinx. And I guess this is all part of their tourism and a way of making revenue. But this, you know, as far as just walking up the Sphinx and looking at it, you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I live in New York, and we pay ridiculous amounts of money just to cross a couple of bridges.
Yeah.
So, it's like $14 just to get out of New York.
Yeah, well, one of the things I like to do when I talk about the pyramids and the Sphinx in lectures or in editorials and things is, because of my background, is to go through some of the stone sizes and things like that and dimensions. And if you got a minute, I'll try to go through that quickly for you. Like I said earlier, we think there's 2.5 million blocks, and they weigh from 2 to 70 tons each. You could build 30 Empire State Buildings with that much material. The base of the pyramid covers 13 acres, has a volume of 90 million cubic feet. When built, it was 454 feet high, equivalent to a 48-story building, 203 courses or steps that go up to the summit. Each side slopes upward at an angle of exactly 51 degrees, 51 minutes, and each side has an area of 5.5 acres, while less than a 50th of an inch separates some of the stones. So I don't feel like the building of the Great Pyramids was an accident. I think whoever built them knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, how about the fact that the length of one side is 9131 inches, which in pyramid cubits comes out to the same amount of days as a year?
Yeah, it does. And it then, sure does. Yeah. Good
then
point.
Also the diagonal of the base.
And this was done by people with copper tools.
Yeah, I mean they got the distance to the sun. If you look at the diagonal of the base to the sixth power or something, I mean, it's okay.
When I mentioned the Kemetian civilization earlier, I should have said that I am not of the opinion that the pyramids were built by ETs by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had contact with star people, which is what we believe, then I will say that the technology may have come from star people to build them, whoever built them. I'm hoping in my lifetime we will learn when, in fact, they were built, who built them, for who, and for what purpose.
Well, let me tell you, I don't think I'll ever know.
I'll be 69 next month, and I don't think so. I'm either.
I'm 69 already. I'm the same age you are.
Same thing with the Roswell incident. I used to think that we probably would know what happened at Roswell in my lifetime, but I'm beginning to think now that that's not going to happen.
The only way that would ever happen is if they would land in the middle of Central Park or something, you know, and they wouldn't be able to be denied.
Well, my theory on Roswell, Ken, and I may have shared this before, is that whatever was recovered, and it was just pieces of a craft, whatever they discover, they still don't know what they have. They don't know how it works, the propulsion, the guidance systems. don't know what their motive was, don't know where they were from. And until our military gets advantage out of that technology, they're not going to admit it happened or go public with it.
Yeah, you may be right. Several years ago, a pyramid was found buried in Bosnia. Do you know about this?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I believe I have an editorial on my website, TrueSeekerAtRoswell.com, where I have been in communication with that guy. And it certainly looks, from the outside, like a four-sided pyramid.
Yeah, it's 720 feet high, they estimated.
Yep.
And they think it might be from 12,000 B.C.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that the date of 12,000 B.C. might be relevant when we look at the pyramids in Egypt?
Sure.
In other words, this might have been copied from them,
sure,
which would make them a lot older than what we're being told.
Well, the interesting thing about the Bosnian pyramid is they have found entrances. There are some openings that they have found, and it's covered in trees. But when they cleared out some of the vegetation, they did find some openings that go in there with tunnels. So they're doing some research on that. There's been a lot of negative comments about that it's just a mountain, and that's all it is. Just happens to look like a pyramid. But I really think there may be something to that.
Well, they seem to have found stairs, so I don't think it's a mountain. But, you know, you can't really be sure. It could just be stones that look like stairs. But it looks like it's stairs.
Yeah, but they found some stones that appear to have been worked,
mm-hmm,
you know, not natural, and which would be the same as the Egyptian pyramids, of course. You don't find just square blocks out there in the wilderness anywhere. So I'm not ruling it out. It's of interest to me, and I've been in touch with the guy about a year now, I guess.
There's something very significant about this date, though, this 12,000 B.C. date,
mm-hmm,
because it seems to fit into the ancient Indian writings, the ones that talk about flying machines and nuclear war and such.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, you're talking about the Native Americans?
No, I'm talking about the Indians in India. They have this book called, I think it's the Mambata,
uh-huh,
where they talk about battles in space, and they have actually found cities, ruins of cities, that are radioactive today, and the Indian government has had to rope them off so nobody would go near them.
Well, there's a lot of history there, and that's, I won't rule it out. I know the Native Americans are very knowledgeable on our star system. They talk about the Seven Sisters and things like that, so I'm always interested in discussing stuff with the Native Americans because of their history and what they know, the knowledge you have, and their lack of sharing that.
And they were a lot closer to nature than most people, too, that's right.
Well, you know, I hate to get off on the pyramids, get on UFOs, but if you look at what happened in New Mexico, you got Aztec, you got Roswell, you got Socorro, you got, you know, several highly active UFO things going on here, and if you look who lives here or who did live here, it was the Native Americans.
That's right.
If you were coming from out there somewhere to learn about another planet, would you not go to those people who don't share secrets and who have close family ties and keep things to themselves pretty much?
Yeah, I see your point. There is a feeling among some UFO investigators that some of the ancient Egyptian gods, such as Anubis, who had the head of a jackal on the body of a human, and Thoth, who had the head of a bird on a human body, were either aliens from outer space that helped teach the Egyptians or victims of gross genetic experiments. What is your feeling on that?
Whoa. Boy, that's opening up a can of worms. But you can't dispute it, Ken. You know, we talk about the different species of aliens, and mm-hmm, some are reptilian, some are, you know, different types, and maybe what they depicted in their hieroglyphics is that same thing.
Do you think that ancient Egypt derived much of its power and wealth because it had such fertile land, or do you think that maybe they had little-known technology that they had used?
Well, they had technology, there's no doubt about that. But And it was so different 10,000 years ago. Egypt was a beautiful country, really. Moist, a lot of moisture, and, you know, it was a totally different part of the world than it is today. Agriculture was a big thing, and there was devotion to the pharaohs. If a pharaoh wanted something built, you know, he had access, however he did it, through taxation or through work, to get things built with pretty much free labor.
Well, there's a story that in the early 1900s, ancient Egyptian tombs were found in Death Valley. Some say that a few Egyptians made a run for it when Cleopatra died. Have you heard about this, and if so, what do you think about it?
Well, now we're getting back to the boats and the possibility that they may have left Egypt and gone across the ocean to where the Mayans are or where the Incas are, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Egypt is a big trade center, so there was silk brought from the east and different things from the east, so they could have left, and now that we're finding these boats of some kind, you know, it's very possible that they could have left Egypt and gone other places.
Well, some people think that the Great Pyramid could have been used for a purpose besides a tomb or even a generating station, that it was used like a flag. And what I mean by that is it was used to show that some race had control over the earth and it could be seen from space.
Yeah.
What do you think of that theory?
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, I said earlier, when it had the casing stones, it was visible from the moon by a reflection of the sun on it. Highly polished casing stones. So I think it was an example to the world of that is the center of the earth right there. If you take the longitude and latitude of all the land mass on the earth, it's exactly where the pyramids are built.
Right.
If you could put all the land together, omit the oceans and the water, that would be the exact center of all the land mass on earth. Again, where did that information come from? How did they know that? And like I said earlier, the sub-base material underneath that pyramid, it's my thinking that there may be a mountain range buried under the sand that is where they build them, because those pyramids should not have withstood 2,500 years, 10,000 years without starting to sink into the earth. There's just too much weight there to be supported, unsupported, by something underneath it.
Do you believe that there are some sort of lines of force that the pyramids are built over?
Lines of force?
Yes.
Well, based on Joe Parr's testing on top of the pyramid, where he thought there was an energy cycle or an energy bubble of some kind around it, yeah, I would agree to that.
Heliopolis is over 6,000 years old and was one of the first great Egyptian cities. It's true that the water table is rising and threatening ancient Heliopolis,
mm-hmm.
or Heliopolis, however you want to say it, in Cairo. Do you think that maybe this has happened before?
Before they were built?
No, I mean, do you think that maybe every so many, say 10 or 15,000 years, that whole area has flooded out?
Well, I think the last record of any flooding, or not flooding, but of large quantities of moisture, rain, was something like 10,000 years ago. Now, the Nile did flood up until recently when the Aswan Dam was built. So, you know, that's always been a problem, the flooding. But I don't know that there's really a cycle. There could be, and I think it would predate the Egyptians if there was a cycle.
Have you heard of the Djedi Project? That's Djedi?
No.
They're going to send a tiny robot. It's going to search the Queen's Chamber in the Great Pyramid, and it's going to try and drill through a door that was found behind another door the last time.
Well, that's similar to what they used on the air shaft.
Right.
Okay.
What do you think they might find?
Boy, Boy, you put me on the spot.
No, nobody's holding you to this. Just your opinion.
Ken, I don't know. I keep thinking that it's a theory that it was built for Khufu, for his burial, then there should be something somewhere to indicate that. And thus far, from 890 to today, that's not been found. But I'm not saying that it's not still there. Because they were great at hiding things. You know, they had blocks where you couldn't enter another shaft or you couldn't go down another way. So I may sound like an idiot, but I can't rule out hardly anything.
You don't sound like an idiot, of course not. Yeah, well, what do you think of this?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
On the Sphinx.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that the head has been redone, reworked?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you?
Apparently there is a beard in the museum that fell off of the Sphinx because, I don't know, I believe it was Napoleon used the Sphinx for target practice.
The French army used it.
There's
no doubt about that.
If you look at that face on the Sphinx today, to me, that looks like a black woman. And the Kemetian civilization was a black civilization in North Africa prior to the Egyptians, primarily controlled by women.
Right.
And I'm working that theory a little bit because I really, and it's so totally out of proportion with the body.
That's true. That part's true, yes. Well, the thing is, you know, as far as the head goes, there are all sorts of stories that what had happened was that the head was recreated by the Egyptians and put on an existing body, and that maybe they took the old head off and used the new head to honor one of their pharaohs. Now, one of their pharaohs was a female.
Right.
And it could be that maybe they made the head to reflect the way she looked. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's altogether possible because in the Valley of the Kings, you know, they moved all them statues to make room for the dam because
that's
it was
right.
going to flood that whole area. So, you know, those things could have been done, and they're being done in modern times, so they could have well been done back then also.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just don't know. It could be that the head is new and the Sphinx is old.
Yeah. I've always been amazed at the disproportional size of the head compared with the body.
Well, it may have been done to honor the pharaoh, you know.
Yeah. You know, part of what I got into this for was because the Roswell incident, the I-beam that they talked about, many people said that the symbols on there resemble hieroglyphics.
Right.
And Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer, before he passed away, was interviewed by Linda Corley, and he drew five symbols that he remembered years later of what he saw in those I-beams, and I sent those to one of our researchers who is an authority on hieroglyphics, and he said there was absolutely no connection between the two. But, you know, that was something I wanted to look into because of the hieroglyphics that people talked about.
Yeah, I've seen them reproduced.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm certainly no expert on anything. All I could say is, to me, they look very unusual.
Yeah.
Well, do you accept the fact that it might be possible that since these ancient races were able to move these huge stones, that maybe they built these structures somewhere else and moved the whole structure, such as was done with the Coral Castle in Florida?
Wow. Well, you have Easter Island. You have those statues that apparently appeared from nowhere. You have the Mayan and the Inca structures. You have the structures over in the Far East. Problem I have is the technology today doesn't let me go that far to understand how it could have been done. I know that Nova or one of the public TV stations years ago tried to duplicate building a pyramid and wound up using heavy equipment because they couldn't do it the way the Egyptians did it or whoever did it. So So, you know, there again, you're looking at a possibility.
Are you familiar with the Coral Castle?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know that it took him 3 years, but he moved these stones after he built it. First of all, he built it with coral that some pieces weighed 200 tons.
Yeah.
There was no equipment that could have even been used to build the Coral Castle.
Yep.
So some people
that's what makes life so interesting.
Right.
We're not too smart when it comes to all this stuff because we can't figure it out.
No, but it seems like this guy did.
He had some knowledge of something.
That's right. Do you think the ancient Egyptians had electric lights?
Yeah, it's been reported, and supposedly they found them in that one temple that certainly looked like an electric light.
And what do you think about King Tut's curse?
King Tut's what?
Curse.
I don't know. Tut was fascinating. You know, his young age and all the stuff they found for his afterlife and things like that. And that just doesn't match up with Khufu, who supposedly was in the Big Pyramid. But I'm fascinated with Tut and Cleopatra and mm-hmm. some of the others.
Now, one of the strangest gifts ever given to a country was given by Egypt in 1968. They gave Spain a second century Egyptian temple, the Temple of Debat,
mm-hmm.
and it resides now in the heart of Madrid.
Right.
Have you ever heard of anything like this before? Do you think this is good for, like, archaeology, giving away, you know, ancient temples and things?
Well, the Egyptians are having a problem with a lot of the things that were taken out of Egypt and now are located in museums all over the world. And they're making a big effort to try to get those things back to Egypt, which really is the rightful owner of it. But I know many of the big museums around the world have artifacts from Egypt that they stole them. And the Egyptian tourism industry and the archaeological and antiquities people are making a big effort to try to get all that stuff back to Egypt.
Well, this was actually given as a present by Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think it is that the mortar that was used to construct the Great Pyramid can't be duplicated, even though we know the chemical content?
I don't know anything about it other than that I've heard it, and I have no... I can't give you an intelligent response on it. I don't know.
Oh, that's okay. Nobody knows. That's why I can't duplicate it.
Yeah.
The Great Pyramid has one attribute that none of the other pyramids have, and that is that the walls on all four sides are slightly concave.
Yeah.
Why do you think this was done?
I think it has something to do with structural stability, and I don't really know what's inside. We know what's on the outside, the rocks that are on the outside, the casing stones that were on the outside. I'm guessing that the inside was rough-cut stones to fill the void, except for the king's chamber, the queen's chamber, and other passages where they did use polished marble and things like that. So I don't know what actually the volume, I don't know what it is. And the weight, you know, could be even more than we think because we don't know what's inside.
Well, would it have helped the covering that was supposedly polished limestone to hold tighter to the pyramid if the walls were concave?
Yes. You would get you have a tremendous downforce with that much weight.
Right.
And as you go up, that whole area becomes smaller in the shape of the pyramid, and that load has to be distributed somewhere. And if it was a flat surface, it would start pushing out because of the weight above, I think. I know in the King's Chamber, the stones on the ceiling are something like 70 tons. Those are some of the biggest stones in the pyramid, and that's there for a reason. And if you go above the King's Chamber, there's several layers up there. Remember seeing pictures of those where it dissipated the load that was coming down on that particular room.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Great Pyramid had a swivel door entrance, as some suggest?
Yeah, there's been talk about the rock doors that I know they had a vertical movement on them. You could, in fact, that's how they blocked it. They inserted a block above and slid it down, which locked off the entrance to a chamber or to another hallway or whatever. I wouldn't rule out a swivel door also.
With all these measurements that we can get out of the pyramid, and there are hundreds of these significant measurements,
mm-hmm.
do you think that was somebody or some race trying to tell us, hey, we built the pyramids and we were very advanced?
Well, I'd like to think that, but the tools they had, the amount of time it took, I don't think verify that. But it has... I don't want to make the Egyptians sound like they were, you know, didn't know anything. They were fascinating people, and the technology was great. But the three pyramids of Giza, I just can't buy into the fact that those were built by Egyptians.
Right. Well, those are the ones I'm talking about. I mean, when you take the Great Pyramid, there are so many significant measurements
mm-hmm.
that point to other things in the solar system, for example.
Right.
That, you know, you have to wonder. I mean...
The shaft, the upward shaft, you know, that goes to a certain constellation. There's several things, like you say, that just fit into the universe some way or other. The number of things you mentioned about the number of days in a year. There's all kinds of calculations that you can get out of the pyramids that
precisely,
make you wonder.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing that I've always wondered about is the fact that if you roll back time to, say, about 10,000 years, the Great Pyramid lines up with certain stars and the mm-hmm. shafts line up. But how, if you roll a time back, say, further than the 10,000 years, are there other points, say, going back to maybe 1 million or 2 million years, that the shafts would line up again with other things, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's possible, because of that, the whole thing is shifting all the time.
Right. Well, they say that the Great Pyramid has moved 3 miles since it was built. Did you ever hear that?
No.
That the Earth has, the Earth has shifted 3 miles, the crust.
Well, you know, I'm amazed with the earthquakes around the world that there's not been any effect on the pyramids, and this may go back to what I said earlier about that severe weather is avoided around the pyramids or near the pyramids. And then when you look at the fact that Egypt was so different 10,000 years ago, wet, humid, and tropical,
mm-hmm.
Those cycles do happen, yeah.
How many stones do you think were stolen from the Great Pyramid? I mean, if we were to add up the stones that were stolen and the stones that are there now, would we get that figure that you gave me, the 2.5 million, or would we get more?
I think we get more. I think the 2.5 million, based on what I've been able to research with other guys, is what is there now, and that would have meant the casing stones would have been additional stones. I don't know the size of the casing stones, but the Arabs took them all off, so mm-hmm. I don't know that we'll ever know how many were there. But those were just amazing, I imagine, to see from a distance.
Right, right. Well, I tried to be thorough, Dennis, but you know, when you try to be thorough, you always miss things.
You did good.
Would you like to add anything that I haven't covered?
Everything's a possibility, Ken.
Well, I guess that finishes the interview. Thank you so much, Dennis. I just want to tell my readers that you're going to be back with a report on the Angel Fire Symposium.
That we
appreciate. And
that's
Dennis,
going to be... I'm going to have a new editorial coming out 1st of October, Ken.
Okay.
And I have a master ceremonies up there. I don't want to release too much of it, but I have just about had it with what I refer to as woo-woos. It looks like the paranormal is invading serious UFO research, and I'm not comfortable with that, and I wrote an editorial on that. And
I don't blame you.
You'll be getting a copy of that around 1st of October, and then we can discuss that.
Dennis, this was a very interesting interview.
Oh, good.
To say
good.
The least. I know my readers are really going to enjoy it.
Well, my best to all of them.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, Ken.